A slave coffle being sent by slave traders from Maryland to Georgia killed two whites. Believing this was a revolt, authorities convicted and hanged four of the slaves, and some whites blamed this incident, along with other episodes of slave violence, on the Santo Domingo virus, which white Southerners believed was transported on slave ships from the Caribbean and then infected American slaves. This virus was believed to cause violence among slaves. In 1800, whites discovered a slave rebellion that was being planned by a slave named Gabriel Prosser in Richmond, Virginia. Prosser's rebellion was the first large-scale slave rebellion in the South up to that time, and the leaders of the rebellion were skilled urban slaves who had been influenced by the rhetoric of the American and French revolutions, especially the ideas that all men were born equal and that they enjoyed certain inalienable rights like life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Gabriel and the other leaders attempted to gain the support of plantation slaves in the surrounding area, but they never gave their complete support to the rebellion, and it fell apart when black informants told whites about the coming insurrection. Richmond's authorities arrested Gabriel Prosser and his accomplices before they could begin the rebellion, and eventually, 34 conspirators were hanged. Although no blood was shed, Gabriel Prosser's rebellion struck fear into the hearts of white Virginians, and it seemed to them to be proof that a slave rebellion on the scale of Santo Domingo was possible in America. The legacy of what would become known as Gabriel's Rebellion was that it created a fear of slave uprisings in the South, and it created a sense in white Southerners that every slave was a potentially dangerous rebel. Ironically, Nat Turner would be born a week before Prosser was executed. Turner's mother, Nancy, was an African slave who was enslaved in her homeland in the Nile River country and then sent to the Western Hemisphere as part of a slave shipment. Nancy survived the horrors of the Middle Passage and landed at Norfolk in 1795, after which she was taken inland by slave traders and sold to Benjamin Turner in 1799. At Turner's plantation in Southampton County, Virginia, Nancy married a slave whose name is not known, and she gave birth to a son, Nat, on October 2, 1800. According to family stories, Nat impressed those around him with his intellect, and his master, Benjamin, allowed him to learn to read, write, and also study the Bible. He later told his lawyer, "In my childhood, a circumstance occurred which made an indelible impression on my mind and laid the groundwork of that enthusiasm which has terminated so fatally to many, both white and black, and for which I am about to atone at the gallows. My grandmother, who was very religious and to whom I was much attached, my master, who belonged to the church, and other religious persons who visited the house, and whom I often saw at prayers, noticing the singularity of my manners, I suppose, and my uncommon intelligence for a child, remarked I had too much sense to be raised, and if I was, I would never be of any service to anyone as a slave. To a mind like mine, restless, inquisitive, and observant of everything that was passing, it is easy to suppose that religion was the subject to which it would be directed. And although this subject principally occupied my thoughts, there was nothing that I saw or heard of to which my attention was not directed. The manner in which I learned to read and write not only had great influence on my own mind, as I acquired it with the most perfect ease, so much so that I have no recollection whatever of learning the alphabet, but to the astonishment of the family, one day, when a book was shown me to keep me from crying, I began spelling the names of different objects. This was a source of wonder to all in the neighborhood, particularly the blacks, and this learning was constantly improved at all opportunities. When I got large enough to go to work, while employed, I was reflecting on many things that would present themselves to my imagination, and whenever an opportunity occurred of looking at a book, when the school children were getting their lessons, I would find many things that the fertility of my own imagination had depicted to me before. All my time, not devoted to my master's service, was spent either in prayer or in making experiments in casting different things in molds made of earth, in attempting to make paper,